Grace and peace to you. We gather together in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another this morning. Surely God is with us in this virtual worship space and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray with one another today. Most holy God, we await the touch of your Spirit with eagerness. We ask that you enter the lives of each one of us today, refreshing and renewing and healing us with the power of your loving Spirit, that we may live with purpose and enthusiasm and courage after the manner of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Welcome to worship this morning with Parma Christian Church. I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor, and I am glad to welcome you to worship this morning. You may notice things are a little different today, and here's the reason why. One of my family members was exposed to someone who had COVID-19 this past week. As of today, we are currently all healthy, but we are in quarantine because we want to make sure that we do not spread the virus to you. So we are worshiping today from my home, and I hope that you feel God's presence in this place. There are a few reminders that I'd like to make this morning as we worship together. The first is that we believe communion is very important to our worship service and to our lives of faith. And we want to remind you that your table is an extension of Christ's table, and all are invited to participate in communion with us. And the second is that we invite you to give your offering to Parma Christian Church. You may do that by going to our website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, and using our online giving tool, Givelify. Or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Today our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 21. I'm reading this from the Common English Bible translation. The first half of the scripture is of John's version of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a very familiar scripture, and it's similar to a scripture that I used back in August when I preached on this from a different gospel. The second part of the scripture contains the miracle of Jesus walking on the water and the disciples being surprised by that. Here are the words from our Holy Scripture this morning. After this, Jesus went across the Galilee Sea, that is, the Tiberias Sea. A large crowd followed him, because they had seen the miraculous signs he had done among the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat there with his disciples. It was nearly time for the Passover, the Jewish festival. Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy food to feed these people?" Jesus said this to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than a half year's salary worth of food would not be enough for each person to have even a little bit." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "A youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that for a crowd like this?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, each getting as much as they wanted. When they had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous sign, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus understood that they were about to come and force him to be their king, so he took refuge again, alone, on a mountain. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake, They got into a boat and were crossing the lake to Capernaum. It was already getting dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The water was getting rough because a strong wind was blowing. When the wind had driven them out for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. He was approaching the boat, and they were afraid. He said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and just then the boat reached the land where they had been heading. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When youth ministers are new to a congregation, one of the first priorities is to build relationships with the children and youth of that church. The question always is, what is the best way to accomplish this? When I started as a youth minister at a church in Kentucky, I had an excellent way that was actually given to me. I happened to begin my ministry there about 2 weeks before a youth mission trip. Everything was all planned. The trip was done. All I had to do was go on the trip with the kids. And it actually worked out really well. I was able to spend much of the time not stressing about the week, as one of the other chaperones on the trip was the one who was more in charge. He had planned everything for the trip and knew what was happening. This gave me time to talk with the youth and simply get to know them. On our second night there, the group had dinner at a lovely park. I sat down at a table with 4 of the high school girls. They were all quiet at first. We didn't really know each other yet. But as we ate, we started to share stories and jokes. And before long, we were all laughing so hard that we could barely breathe. Now, I don't remember all of the jokes that we told or what we talked about around that table, but what I do know is that when I got up from that dinner table, I had a solid foundation for relationships with those 4 ladies. I would build a great friendship with them. We talked, we joked, we ate our way into a friendship founded in faith. The key to our scripture lesson today is just that, relationships. Often people get stuck on the miracles. Jesus feeds the multitude of people from just a few loaves of bread and fish. And we ask, how did he do that? And then we hear the story of Jesus walking on the water. And we ask, how did he do that? We want to understand how these miracles happen. And we look for explanations in scripture, in science, in history. We want to know how he was able to do all of those miraculous things. However, I am not convinced that how is the right question here. I have learned that there are things in this world that we cannot explain and things that we will never know. And I'm not even sure that knowing how really matters for our scripture lessons today. In my opinion, the better question is to ask, why? Why did Jesus feed the 5,000? Why did Jesus walk on the water out to the disciples? He didn't have to feed all of those people, but he did. So why did he do it? Did he do it to show how powerful he was? Did he feed all of these people to show that he could accomplish an amazing feat? Is this why he walked on water to reach his disciples during the storm? While those miracles are amazing and they show us how powerful Jesus is, I'm not convinced that those are the reasons why. For me, the answer is all in the word relationships. When Jesus feeds the crowd who are following him, he does it because of their need and because of the relationships that will result from that experience. Jesus knows these people need food. He instructs his disciples to feed them. They say, "We cannot do this." And then Andrew points out that there's a boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. Jesus gives them instructions, which includes to have the people sit down. Now, when this story is told in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus actually tells the disciples to instruct the multitude to actually sit together in groups. Why? Because Jesus knows that it is better to eat with others. It's easier to build relationships that way. Jesus is constantly connecting with people in order to help them connect with each other. We hear stories about Jesus eating meals with others, and it's not just about eating the meal. We actually don't really learn a whole lot about what happens at the meal with the food. Instead, we learn about the dinner guests and the conversation. Jesus eats with the outcasts because he knows that they need the healing touch of relationships. He eats with the rich and the well-to-do in order to share stories of compassion, empathy, and love for others with them. Jesus drinks water at the well with the Samaritan woman because he knows that she is alone and needs to talk with someone in order to find someone who understands her and who can give her the grace and the love that she needs. So when Jesus feeds the multitude, he does it because he knows that there will be conversations among the people as they eat the bread and fish. Those conversations will build connections, human connections, and relationships. The story of Jesus walking on water immediately follows the feeding of the multitude in John. Here, Jesus walks out onto the water to the disciples who are afraid. He calms their fears. He is like a parent coming to a child in the night who cries out that they are alone, they're scared, they had a bad dream. Jesus does this because he cares about them, the same way that parent cares for a child. Jesus is in relationship with them and he wants to support them. He is there for them, even in their darkest hour, just as he is there for us, even in our darkest hour. These stories are about the relationship that Jesus has with us. Relationships are important because they fulfill one of the most basic needs of humanity, which is to be connected with each other. We are at our best when we are connected to one another. In these stories, Jesus fulfills the most basic needs we have as humans. He feeds the people, and he helps the disciples overcome their fear. Hunger and fear, starvation, and being alone. These are two of the biggest fears that we have as humans. Jesus conquers them both through his relationships with the people. I want to stop for a second and look at power, though. What about the power that Jesus displays in these stories? Isn't that the emphasis on Jesus? Isn't that what's important? There are preachers who will focus on that power and who will tell you that that power is the most important thing, and that's not entirely wrong. Power is important, but even Jesus knows that power is not everything. Think for a moment about LeBron James. Most NBA fans focus on his power and his athleticism. All the sports analysts and fans talk about how great he is, how magnificent a player he is, how powerful he is, that he has the athletic power to change the game. However, here in Ohio and in Akron, where people talk about LeBron, they don't talk about his power. They talk about what he's doing for the kids of his neighborhood. They talk about the school that he's created. They talk about the scholarships that he's giving to students so that they can go to college. They talk about him as if they know him personally. They talk about the relationships that he has with his hometown. What's more important to those people? LeBron's power as an athlete or his relationships? You see, these stories about Jesus that we find in our Bible are truly more than about the miracles and the power. They're about the power that's actually found in relationships. Relationships that can truly change the world. Jesus used his power to help others connect with each other. He used his power to help the disciples overcome their fear and to trust in him. The disciples trust Jesus because they have seen him do the miraculous, but also because they know that he cares. Jesus cares for the multitude. Jesus cares for his disciples. And Jesus cares for us. When I look back at that meal that I shared with those four high school girls that happened, gosh, almost 2 decades ago, I see a nervous youth minister who desperately wanted to connect with her new youth group. And as I sat there with those girls, what I remember most about that night was the laughter and the joy that we shared. I don't remember what we ate for dinner. I don't remember all of the words that we said. I remember that I listened more than I spoke. And I remember laughing at their silly jokes. Years have passed since that evening. We've all grown older. The girls have graduated high school, and some of them have even gotten married. Yet, even though we are all disconnected by distance these days, we remain connected through our relationships. And thankfully, to the power of social media. We remain connected through the memories that we share of that mission trip, of other mission trips, of worship services, of time together and fellowship time with one another. That connection began because of the relationship that we built together through our faith in God. What is the miracle found in these stories? Relationships. Relationships with Jesus, relationships with each other. Jesus is about more than miracles. Jesus is about connecting us with each other. No matter where we are, no matter how many miles separate us, and even as we come on this time of Thanksgiving when we might be celebrating it differently because of this pandemic, we are still connected through our power of relationships. They're built on faith in God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, I invite you to type into the chat the first names only of those that you want us to lift up into prayer this week. Today we lift up Audra, Bob, Terry, Burday, Clyde, Joe, Donna, Karen, Elaine, Ed, April, Wanda, Paul, Scott, the Herbs family, Jackie, Savina, Rita, and Sawyer. We pray for all of those who've been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19 and for those who have been affected not only by the illness but the economic impact of this pandemic. We also pray for the people everywhere who've been affected by our natural disasters in this world. And we also pray for our country that we can reunite together as one. Let us pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for all your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, for each breath we take, for freedom to choose, and for the gifts of your word, your power, and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, Holy God, when we consider how you have entrusted so much to us. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live as fully and as richly as you want us to live. Help us, Holy God, as followers of Jesus, to multiply all that you have given us, to risk spreading your word and perhaps see it misunderstood, to gamble by loving those whom others think worthy only of hate, to take chances by doing good to those who have not done good to us. Help us be faith-filled and desire to increase your glory and your goodness in this world. Make us people who share in both word and deed that which you have given to us. We pray for the church gathered today, both in this place and around the world, that it may encourage all of its members to discover, develop, and use all their gifts, those of nurture and nature, and those of grace. We pray for those who are poor in body or in spirit, for the oppressed and heavy laden, for those sick or in despair. Minister by your Spirit and by us to all those for whom we have prayed, and help us walk faithfully in the path of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You are invited at this time to gather a piece of bread, something to drink, and bring it to your table, which is an extension of Christ's table, so that we may celebrate Holy Communion with one another.